this Sunday falls into an interesting spot. Last Sunday was Juneteenth, the celebration of the day that freedom was finally announced to slaves in Texas over 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation. Juneteenth is something that many of us only learned about in recent years, but the day is significant nonetheless. We are also a week and a day from the 4th of July, Independence Day for these United States of America. As excited as many are for the 4th of July, we should feel anger about Juneteenth. For a little bit of perspective, it took 4 to 5 months for groups of people to traverse the Oregon Trail. The only reason that it took over 2 years for the news of the Emancipation Proclamation to get to Texas is because there was a great effort made by those in power to keep the news from being spread. This week, a couple of Supreme Court decisions have been passed down, and some are celebrating while others are lamenting. I had thought today about bringing a large paintbrush with me and a small paint-by-numbers picture. We often, as people, get so caught up in the large strokes that we miss the details underneath. It would be like taking that big brush and simply painting over all of the number sections of the sheet, or if you were to try to take that big brush and try to just paint the right number, you would have a very difficult time. The Constitution of our nation makes a bold claim to say that all men are created equal. But this phrase, while it looks like a broad stroke, was actually a very narrow statement when it was written. It meant, at the time, all white men who owned land. The fight ever since then by women, by slaves, by other groups has been to try to peel back the paint and show how that statement applies much broader than it originally did. But no matter how many layers get peeled back, you can still see the broad stroke. The intention can still be found by those for whom it benefits. Now, as Christians, as people of God, we have our own broad strokes. We believe that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We believe that each person was created in the image of God. We each carry the image of God within us. We also believe that only God can judge and only Christ can save. And so we take these broad strokes and we, as broken, sinful people, try to paint details over them to narrow what God has given to us freely as a gift. No matter how much we try to confine God's grace and mercy with our paint-by-numbers boxes, God's bold strokes cannot be covered up that easily. At its very simplest, our American understanding of freedom is freedom from. Freedom from a tyrannical king, freedom from taxation without representation, freedom from many other things. Now, this understanding in some way stands in opposition to Paul's understanding of freedom that we hear about in Galatians. For Paul, we are not set free from, we are set free for. We are set free for the sake of our neighbor. We are set free to serve God. We are set free to turn outward, to turn away from ourselves, to stop navel-gazing, as some refer to it, and see all of those in need around us. We are set free to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit, as Paul lays it out for Galatians, is this. And I want you to hear that really clearly. He doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit. He says the fruit. So all of these things constitute the fruit. He says it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This fruit is best enjoyed when shared with another. When we try to hoard it for ourselves, as we so often do, then the fruit will rot before it has a chance to be enjoyed. It's like this. It's like planting more than one zucchini plant, and then thinking that you know what to do with all of the zucchini you're about to get. In the end, you're going to have plenty of zucchini to share. We are set free for the sake of our neighbors. This is what the people of Galatia struggled to understand and the point that Paul was trying to make. Like the people of Galatia, we can indulge the desires of our flesh. We can look to the law or we can look to ourselves for salvation. But this will only lead us to death. Christ has set us free from the bindings of the law. Christ has set us free from the bondage to sin and death. Christ has set us free for the sake of the world God made. It is in this freedom that we can bear the fruit of the Spirit. I was reminded in an article this week that Luther takes Paul's words even farther in his book, The Freedom of a Christian, when he writes the following. From faith flow forth love and joy in the Lord, and from love a cheerful, willing, free spirit, disposed to serve our neighbor voluntarily, without taking any account of gratitude or ingratitude, praise or blame, gain or loss. Its object is not to lay men under obligations, nor does it distinguish between friends and enemies, or look to gratitude or ingratitude, but most freely and willingly spends itself and its goods, whether it loses them through ingratitude or gains goodwill. Our love and joy in the Lord doesn't keep an accounting, but it gives freely to all because it has been given so freely to us. But there is another reality. We don't always bear good fruit. The desires of the flesh can overwhelm us. The desire to harm another, the desire to be like God or create a false god, the desire to place our own needs far above the needs of others. These desires of the flesh can cause us to compare ourselves with another. We can decide and desire to grade their sin heavier than ours. But that truth that I stated early on remains, that we have all sinned and have all fallen short of the glory of God. I think you can take Paul's image in Galatians just a little bit further and say that not all of the fruit that we bear is guaranteed to be good fruit. Some of the fruit may be rotten on the branch. In the bulletin this morning, in the margin next to the Galatians reading, it says this, at least one line of it. It says, for Paul, the freedom Christ gives is not permission to do whatever we want. It is an invitation to be what we could not be otherwise. So I ask you today, what can you be because Christ has set you free? Whom can you serve because Christ has set you free? Whom can you love because Christ has set you free? Who can you turn outwards toward and see in a new way because Christ has set you free? How will you and can you love your neighbor since Christ has set you free? The command to love our neighbor is more than something that is superficial. It's not the broad stroke that we may want to make it to be. It is called to love our neighbor and to define that so broadly as to love our neighbor who may be our enemy. It is no wonder why this life and this spirit is an invitation to be what we could not be otherwise. Paul says there are many desires, but he also says there is one fruit. And as I said earlier, it takes a lot of words to define that one fruit. This isn't a broad stroke to make it simple. This is a difficult paint by numbers that will require a steady hand and a fine brush. To hear his definition of fruit again, it is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. on our own, on a good day, we might be able to manifest a few of those traits of the fruit, but only by the power of the Spirit can we manifest them all, and even then, it's tenuous. On this day, we can proclaim, like Paul, that for freedom Christ has set us free. Not free from, but free for the sake of this world that God loves. For the sake of our brothers and sisters gathered here, and for the sake of our brothers and sisters who we have not met yet. For the sake of our neighbor, and for the sake of our enemy who is also our neighbor. On our own again, we will fail at the work each and every time. We will turn in on ourselves. But through the grace of God, through the freedom in Christ, the freedom from bondage to sin and death, through the power of the Spirit working within us and among us, we may just catch a glimpse that we are free. We might live a moment or two where we feel free. I had a couple of moments yesterday along the rim of Crater Lake when I got out of this valley that's referred to by some as Death Valley because of the pollen count. I had a few moments where I could breathe through both nostrils. My eyes didn't feel like they were going to itch out of my head. And I felt freedom that I hadn't felt in a long time. What imagery can we use to understand the way that Christ has set us free? How can we catch a glimpse of what that freedom means for each one of us? The freedom to share the fruit of the Spirit. The freedom to share the love of God in Christ Jesus. The freedom to look up from our belly button and see the image of God in the faces of those around us. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And we live, we dwell, we love our neighbor in that freedom. Amen.